Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, it's very difficult to find a new job. And the process is part of the struggle. And then it's really hard to tell whether you're going to be a good fit with the people who you're applying to and vice versa. Enter Izzy Fenwick, who has come up with a new concept when it comes to jobs platforms. It's called Futureful. She just launched it. She joins me in the Auckland studio. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Nice to see you.
Likewise.
I'm going to put that microphone a little closer to you. Yeah, thanks. Okay, tell me about you, first of all. Where have you come from?
I'm a human-centered designer by trade, so I'm really interested in what drives humans. And I've got a particular interest in, meaningful lives and anxiety and how we can just, live our best lives. And then I was raised by an environmentalist who was really passionate about corporate responsibility. So those kind of things are what really drive me now.
Yeah. I'm very happy to mention Rob Fenwick, whose name comes up on the show all the time.
That's so nice.
The late Rob Fenwick. And so can you just unpack human-centered design for us a wee bit?
Yeah, cool. So human-centered design is really the practice of understanding who you're creating a product or a service or an experience for, rather than creating it to do something that you as the creator wants it to do. It's really about understanding the problem of the human you're trying to solve. So I used to practice that at a agency, and we would work with clients to understand their consumers and the humans better.
Yeah.
What are their needs and drivers, and what sits underneath the actions that they're portraying, really.
Which involves talking to them.
Yeah, a lot of talking to them, yeah.
And in a particular sort of way, so you're getting to the truth of the matter. Huh?
Yeah, we call them empathy interviews. So, we'll spend a lot of time building rapport and trying to understand the underlying drivers, and often those are deeply unconscious sort of sentimental drivers or sort of deep-seated beliefs. And there's a theory within, human-centered design or a practice where you ask why five times before you get to the actual reason why someone does what they do.
How does that fit in with job hunting?
Well, I looked at it and I really saw it lacked a lot of human-centered design, really. The whole process is pretty transactional.
And how does the traditional process work?
Well, the traditional process is really centered around the job ad. And a role. And the job ad was created in the late 1800s. It was a poster, in the window that described the role. Hasn't been a lot of innovation since then. We've digitized it. But essentially, a company, spits out a role description. These are the things that we want you to do. And there's a little blurb about the company. You have to be on a job site at the right time to see this potential opportunity. You apply. They interview you. You basically get grilled for 50 minutes of a 60-minute interview, and you've got 10 minutes at the end to ask a couple of questions.
The date, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and not a very good one, like a super one-sided date where someone holds a lot of power and you don't, and you don't always have the information that you need. And when we were doing empathy research on job seekers, when we were building Futureful, we heard, what a harrowing experience that can be sometimes. And it's exhausting to put yourself out there again and again. And you reach lots of dead ends, and you've updated your CV and your cover letter, and you head into town and you've practiced and you do this interview and you do it again and again and again. And often in the interview, you actually learn something about that company that means you're not going to be a great fit. They're not actually going to be what you thought it was going to be, and it's kind of a colossal waste of time and energy for lots of people.
And what do you mean by fit?
I guess, there's so much more to your working experience than the role, but the role's the hook that's used currently. So they put out a job ad, the role's the hook, it brings you in, but there's so much more to that. The fit around the workplace experience, the culture, the values, their expectations, that might not align with the lifestyle that you're trying to live. And I think, you know, we're hearing a lot at the moment about, you know, work-life balance. And I think that often gets assumed people mean like a flexibility thing. But a lot of it, I think, actually also means being able to show up as your whole self every day. That you don't have a self at home and a self at work. So in terms of that fit, it's like being able to show up as your true self every day. You start to unpick that a tiny bit in the interview, but often it's not even till you get in the job that you start realizing that actually this doesn't actually align with some of my human needs as a person.
Into this phrase, love bombing.
Yeah.
So, and that's a dating term as well.
Yeah, it is.
Where you meet someone and they're Mr. Perfect and they're sending you flowers and telling you how wonderful you are. And then actually once you get into a relationship, it's quite different.
Yeah.
So how does love bombing apply when it comes to job interviews and job seeking?
Well, often in the job ad, it's mainly about the role, and then there'll be this like perfect paragraph about the company and about how you know, wonderful they are and how diverse they are, and there's greenwashing and brownwashing and rainbow washing, you know, all through this perfect paragraph. And in the job interview, they'll tell you about their values, and often those values will be these four words they've picked that are on posters around the building, but not really the deep values, and they're not being transparent about how those things kind of show up around the business. It's just, you know, this beautiful picture of a, you know, a great place to work. There's not a lot of transparency, and you get in there and then you find that it's not like that. And I guess I had an experience where in the job interview that I was going to, I talked about my wife, and well, she wasn't my wife at the time. And everyone was cool with that in the interview. And a few weeks later, I found myself on a plane with a colleague being told I'd be going to hell for marrying a woman. And what I realized...
No escape on a plane either.
Yeah, that was the worst part. Like, that, like, I couldn't go anywhere.
At least on a boat, you can swim away.
Yeah, true. Run, you know, I couldn't run. But, and, you know, I didn't know what to do and I felt shocked and, you know, I wanted to make them feel comfortable, you know, and it was just it was awful. It was a really traumatic experience for me, and I realized that there is a layer underneath what an organization says in terms of like radical transparency that make a fundamental difference to how people feel at work. And for me in that example, it was about genuinely feeling safe. But there are other examples that enable people to actually love their job when they've got the right information about what that workplace looks like. And people who love their job, they're more productive, they're more engaged, they're happier, they stay longer. Like there's really good reasons for organizations to be more transparent about what they're doing, what they're trying to do, what their targets are, in ways that aren't love bombing, that people can just make really good informed choices about. And if you can't offer someone something that meets that person's need, find someone whose needs you can meet. Don't try and trick them into the business or you know, even vice versa.
With respect to that nasty experience you had, is that a reflection of culture, or is it kind of a bad apple, or a random piece of bad luck that you had?
It was definitely a bad apple. Like the organization was actually awesome and it was one of my favorite employers. But the point kind of that story and that bad apple was, while the organization was great and very LGBT friendly, there wasn't a hard policy within the organization around anti-discrimination or like an upskilling around the other staff that worked there, or even how do we recruit to make sure we're not onboarding people that are homophobic. So it was definitely more around, yeah, what are some of the practices that need to come to the surface in these spaces?
Okay, what's the solution?
So Futureful is the solution. And I guess there's a couple of things that make Futureful really unique. Rather than taking a job-centric or role-centric approach to hiring talent, we take a values-first approach, really wanting to create more meaningful working experiences for people and better outcomes for organisations. And what that looks like is, on Futureful, organizations create a profile and they get guided through the Futureful framework, which helps them describe in quite a good amount of detail The employee benefits, the workplace experience, the social commitments, including commitments to mental health and well-being, diversity, equity and inclusion, all those good things, and also the environmental commitments that, they're making, which we're also seeing being a big contributor to Gen Z and millennial talent wanting to find an organisation that share their values. Then a job seeker comes onto the platform and they create a profile and they're guided through a process to create their ideal workplace where they select what's important to them from an employer. What do they need to really thrive? That goes through a similar process around some benefits and some workplace experiences, social needs, diversity needs. And then Futureful's algorithm does a match in terms of that ideal workplace. We've also got skills-based hiring within that equation, but it is organization first and values first, and then looking at talent with certain skills that that organization needs, joining the talent pools within the platform.
Really interesting. Because at the end of the day, you still need someone with a maths degree.
Totally.
Or someone who's got 6 years sales experience or...
Totally.
You know.
And it was actually a really interesting journey when we set out to create a better system for hiring, a more human, you know, approach to hiring. We pulled a thread that actually like totally pulled the whole thing apart, and we really had to redesign it from scratch because we wanted to be org first, but we knew that the skills were the thing that, you know, made the biggest difference. And what we realized within the skills and the current process being job ads is that a job ad is a 30-day window to find talent. So if you had a 30-day window to find the love of your life, you know, that's very limiting. That's what if the love of the life came on the 31st day?
Yeah.
So we needed to totally redesign the whole system, really, to make sure that we could provide those great matches that were still skill-based. So when the org creates its profile and it goes through that ideal workplace builder and the framework, it then also creates talent pools based on the skills that are critical for that organization. That means that they've essentially got job ads based around these skills that are open 365 days a year. So talent can be funneled into the organizations that meet their needs and requirements into these skill-based pools that the organizations have open.
Interestingly, I wonder if actual skills are going to become less important in the next few years as well, because
totally
not much you can't learn without a bit of help.
Totally.
All due respect to people who fly planes.
Totally. And I think what's interesting there, you know, you can teach someone the skills that you need, but you can't teach them to, you know, not be a dickhead. You know? So that compatibility.
Maybe that could be another company you launch. Anti-dickhead training.
Yeah.
How's it gone? How's the launch gone?
Yeah, really good. So we launched 5 weeks ago. We've had 1,000 profiles made by job seekers. And I think, you know, they really get the difference between what we're trying to create for them and what
they,
a job ad.
How did they hear about you? How did you get the message out there?
We've done some social media marketing, but like pretty light, and still we've had really good traction. One of the reasons why we've done some pretty light marketing to date is that we have launched MVP. So we've got, you know, launch.
Bear in mind, I'm almost out of time here, so give me the quick version of MVP.
MVP, minimum viable product. So it's our first version, and we've got, you know, ideas and improvements for Africa. So we kind of did a little bit of marketing, but we've got some more marketing coming as these new features get released.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Stay in touch.
Thank you. Yeah,
well. Well done. Izzy Fenwick from Futureful, new way of matching job seekers with job havers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.